I'm excited for the word of the Lord tonight. It's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. We had a pastoral Christmas party as pastors at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We got together, and as Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah were sharing their heart with the staff, I leaned over to my wife and I told her, I says, "Oh my goodness, Pastor Jim is preaching my message." So I had to tell all the pastors that. I said, "Hey, listen, if you're going to be here on Wednesday, you need to understand something. I had already written this down on paper before Pastor Jim started talking about us. I didn't want any of the pastors thinking that Pastor Luke was like, oh, he took Pastor Jim's message." The amazing part about that, though, is that truly that means that the Spirit of God is on this place and on us. That the Holy Spirit is confirming some thoughts and some things. And I really believe that the Word of God tonight is really an encouragement to you and I. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to show up in our lives. I believe that we're going to leave this place as we get into the Word of God. We're going to leave this place so much more encouraged and strengthened and prepared to do what God has called us to do. And I believe that if we can grab a hold of these thoughts tonight that the Lord has impressed upon my heart, I believe truly that you and I will just be so much more effective for the kingdom of God. The opportunity that we have in the December months to speak about Christmas is such an amazing thought, because very rarely do you hear a Christmas message in July or August. Very rarely do we sing of the newborn king or the baby in September or in May. So it's fun for us to focus in on the Christmas message in the month of December. And today is not short of that in any way or form or fashion. We're going to look at some truths out of the Word of God based on the plan of God for redemption through the birth of Jesus Christ. The title of tonight's message is Waiting on God's Perfect Plan. Waiting on God's Perfect Plan. You see, a long time had transpired between the fall of man, when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, to the birth of Jesus Christ and the redemption. There was a long period of time between the need for a Savior and the arrival of that Savior. And oftentimes we can look at that and say, well, where was God? Why the delay? Why the holding off of why this and why the law? Why the Exodus? Why the flood? Why the Tower of Babel? Why all these different things that had transpired in order to reach Jesus Christ? And in doing so, we begin to look at the plan of God. And tonight we're going to look at the nativity story. We're going to look at some scripture, some prophecies concerning Jesus, concerning the plan of God, and how that applies and how that parallels to our own lives, looking at this nativity story. Before we get into the Word of God tonight, though, I wanted to show you a video. It's a song. It's a hymn written by Charles Wesley. And I wanted to show it to you, and I'll why don't we just draw attention to the screen, and I can describe it afterwards. But draw your attention to the screen, because I really believe this really sets the pace for where we're going to go tonight. I thought that that was really cool. It's a hymn written in the 1700s by the brother of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, talking about the long-expected Jesus. From the very beginning of time, there was something set in place, and it's just an amazing thought. Today, I want to pick off rather where Pastor Dan left off on Sunday morning. If you didn't hear Sunday morning's message, you really need to go online and listen to Sunday morning's message about being led by God concerning the Christmas story. And truly, I want to pick up where he left off and looking and waiting for God in order to be led by God. And if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Luke, talking about long-expected Jesus, looking at the book of Luke. And the book of Luke in the second chapter in the 25th verse. This is the account of a man by the name of Simeon, talking about long-expected Jesus. There were those around the world that had been hoping, had been desiring, had been watching, had been waiting for Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, of mankind, to arrive. And here's an account of a man by the name of Simeon that the Bible tells us, and we'll read in just a moment, that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said that you won't die before you see the Christ, before you see the Savior of mankind. In Luke, in the second chapter, verse number 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law," Jesus was 8 days old, "he took him in his arms and blessed him and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" The world had been longing for Jesus to come. The plan of God had been set in motion from the beginning of time, but now the Bible tells us, the Bible refers to as the fullness of time had come. Now it was time for God's plan to be enacted. Jesus Christ to come in the form of a baby, to be revealed to those who were looking, to those who were waiting, to those who were desiring, to those who had an ember of faith that God had not forgotten his plan, but yet had learned that they would wait on the Lord, that they would wait on the promises of God and know that despite the circumstances around them, that God was in control. And here we see through this nativity story, through the story of Jesus coming in the form of a small, helpless baby born in a manger, the lowliest of all, we see some truths. We see some principles out of the Word of God that parallel the plan of God for our own life. So that's why I titled the message, "Waiting on God's Perfect Plan," because each and every one of us today have to wait on God's perfect plan. So what I want to do is I want to look at some principles, some truths, some thoughts out of the story of Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus and the plan of God in the redemption of man, and to see the parallel of those thoughts and those truths in our own lives, that we might take away from this place God's perfect plan for our own lives. So today we're going to look at God's perfect plan. I've got three simple things, three easy thoughts for today, and I believe that as we do so, you'll be very encouraged by them. First, tonight, talking about God's perfect plan. Number one, God's perfect plan was always there, was always in place. God's perfect plan was always in place. From the very beginning of time, oftentimes we look at the things that had transpired in the Old Testament. Why? Why did God wait? Why did God allow what happened to happen? Why did God not just intervene right then when Adam and Eve made that mistake? Why didn't God just wipe the slate clean then? But you see, God's perfect plan was always in place. I'll put it up on the overhead for you in Genesis, the third chapter. immediately following the fall of man, as God finds out and God speaks to Adam and Eve of what they've done and the serpent of what he's done, God lays out the words of his plan. The very first sign of his plan for redemption in Genesis in the third chapter, I'll put it up on the overhead. As God is speaking, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent, to the devil here. He says, I will put enmity, I will put a fight between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, notice the capital H, shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God told the whole plan right there, that there will be a seed, somebody that will come from woman that will crush your head, will destroy everything that you stand for, and you will bruise his heel. You will think you've won the fight, but you will not have won the fight. The moment that man messed up, God revealed, hey, I've had a plan that was in place all along. From the very beginning of time, all the way through, now looking, you and I are in our Bibles in the book of Luke. This is one of the most amazing, think about this for a moment, one of the most amazing thoughts. Genesis in the third chapter, God spells out his plan. From Genesis all the way through to Malachi, over 350 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Malachi. Now we see the account of the New Testament. 350 plus prophecies later in the book of Luke. You're there in the second chapter, a few verses before what we had read. Luke in the second chapter, verse number 10. Some angels visit some shepherds. The glory of the God comes on them. And they are afraid by the light of the angels. In verse number 10 it says, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you, the angel says, good tidings of great joy. These lowly shepherds on a hill, the angels say, listen, I get to do something that we have been waiting for. You ever been at a surprise party? Has anybody ever been at a surprise party for somebody else? Anybody ever been or been in on a surprise? Maybe you knew that somebody was going to ask somebody to marry them, or they were going to do something special. And it was, you know, that just anticipation. You just, man, I can't wait. I'm just ready for it. Could you imagine the anticipation of heaven as the angels sat there waiting? Is it time to go yet? 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 And then all of a sudden, they look around in this great rejoicing in heaven. Hey, it's time. It's time to go. Can you imagine the anticipation? Imagine that feeling. You've been involved in a surprise. You've been involved in a secret when you know somebody's going to be greatly blessed. Imagine the anticipation of heaven as the angels go to the shepherds and they say, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hey, the long-expected Jesus is coming. God had a plan all around. It was always there to begin with. And they say, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you, hey, this day. This is the greatest day in history. The day that Jesus Christ, the day that the plan of God that had been enacted since the creation of existence. God's plan has been in place. And born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that the shepherds saw a great multitude of angels rejoicing. They got a glimpse of the party in heaven as everybody and the angels had their little party gowns and their New Year's Eve blowers. They're celebrating Jesus because today is the day that God's plan, the long-expected Jesus, came into pass. 350-plus prophecies concerning Jesus Christ from Genesis to Malachi. When it seemed like God had no plan, when it seemed like there was no hope, when Israel was in exile, when there was no light at the end of the tunnel, so it seems there were those around this earth that had an ember of faith to believe that God had not forgotten his promise. There were those that had been looking and watching and waiting and realized that there was a time and that there will be a time that God's plan will come to pass, whether they be alive during it or not. The truth of the matter is that no matter what it seems like to you and I, church, God's plan was always there. And the parallel to you and I in our life is that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Regardless of what our life may seem like, regardless of what the situations or the circumstances in our life, regardless of the good and the bad decisions that we make in our lives, God has a plan, a unique plan for each and every one of us. God has a plan for you, unique to you, and it's been in place all along. Very familiar verse, so I'll just put it up on the overhead for you. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse number 11. The encouragement that we often as Christians rest upon. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of evil to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for each and every one of us in this place. Whether you see it or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you accept it or not, understand this. God has a plan, and it's been in place all along. It's been in place all along. Your and my responsibility in looking at this parallel to the nativity story is for you and I to seek out the plan of God for our lives by getting into the Word of God, by studying the Scriptures like those who longed, who those who expected, like Simeon, who was revealed to him that he would not die before he saw Jesus Christ. It is your and my responsibility as the Christian church, as children of God, to get into the Word of God and to seek out and to study, to look and to listen and to have a long expected plan that God, His plan, will be resolved in our life and will be revealed for us because God has a plan for us. Psalms in the 46th chapter, it's not on the overhead, but it's a verse that I've always made it a point to remember and to live by. Psalms the 46th chapter, verse number 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. God is saying, listen, I'm in control. Whether you think it or not, whether it appears as though it is or not, I am in control. And we see that from the nativity story, from Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Malachi. God had a plan. Amen? We're looking at God's perfect plan number two. God's perfect plan. Oh, this of all ones tonight, this is honestly my favorite. And truly, this could have been a message on its own. God's perfect plan, number two for tonight, was not like anyone would think. God's perfect plan was not like anyone would think. Now, I love this. It floats around our staff. We say this all the time. Pastor Jim is probably one of his favorite things to quote somebody else. Dr. Baron Gilfillan, one of our missionaries, one of the great missionaries of the 21st century, I truly believe, said this, and I even texted him today. I said, Dr. Barron, I want to make sure I give you the right credit so I don't misquote you. Can you tell me what your exact statement is? I love this statement. We say this oftentimes at the church. Dr. Barron said this. He said, if you can think of 1,000 ways that God will do something, He'll choose the 1,001th way that you didn't think of. You could think of 1,000 ways for God to do something, and He'll come in. He'll choose the 1,001 way of doing things that you never thought of. The plan of God was not like anyone would think. Somebody would think, you and I would think in our reasoning, in our logic, that God would send His Son, Jesus Christ, deity, born into flesh, God in the form of man, that He would send Him with the greatest and the highest of honors, born into royalty, born with legions of armies that followed Him instantly. But God brought Jesus Christ, the lowest of low, into the smallest of small. In the book of Micah, I'll put it up on the overhead, the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ says, but you Bethlehem, Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. Think of it like this. Not New York City. You would think if a great hero, all the heroes of the comic books, they don't have heroes based out of Omaha. Out of Amarillo? They're based out of great metropolitan areas. Why? Because that's where greatness is born. But the prophecies concerning Jesus, the plan of God, He says, but oh, you Bethlehem, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. You see, God's plan isn't like we thought it would be. God's plan isn't how we think it would have been designed. It's how God designed it. We talked about 350 plus prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, the Messiah being born, Jesus Christ being fulfilled. 300 prophecies. Now, I'm going to share some numbers with you. Now, you got to put on your thinking cap because I'm going to blow your mind. All right. So just be prepared. You're going to be totally blown away by this because it blew me away. I had to read it like 4 or 5 times. And I'm going to give you some statistics, all right, some mathematics. We're talking about some math now. So if you don't like numbers, it's all right. It'll just increase the effectiveness of what I'm about to tell you. It's estimated statistical probability of Jesus Christ to fulfill 8 of the 300 prophecies. Let's just remove 292 prophecies, all right? Let's just put Jesus Christ at 8 prophecies. It's estimated that the probability that Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, being born in Bethlehem, fulfilling 8 of the prophecies, having 30 pieces of silver sold to betray him, and so forth and so on. The mathematical probability is that it would be a 1. Now, here's the deal. You ready for this? It would be a 1 in 100 quadrillion possibility. 1 in 100 quadrillion. Okay, now let's do this because I told you, you're like, what does that mean? Okay, let's go. We've got hundreds of thousands, right? Then we've got millions, right? After millions is billions, right? After billions is trillions. We all know trillion because that's what our national debt is. After trillions is quadrillions. Not just 1 quadrillion, 100 quadrillion. Let me paint a picture for you. If you were to take 100 quadrillion silver dollars and cover the state of Texas, it would cover the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now here's the statistical probability of Jesus Christ fulfilling 8 of the 300 plus prophecies. Take those silver dollars that cover the landmass of Texas 2 feet deep. Put 1 coin in that mix at random, mark it special. Take 1 man, blindfold him, and tell him to travel as far and wide as he would like, and blindfolded, pick up the 1 chosen coin. That's the statistical probability of Jesus Christ fulfilling 8 prophecies. When you begin to add 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 20, 500, or 50, 100, 200, the numbers exponentially grow to the amount of zeros that you and I don't even have a number for. Now listen to that one. The probability of Jesus Christ fulfilling 350 plus prophecies has more zeros than we have a number for behind it. That's amazing. It didn't look like anything you and I ever thought it would have. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, the lowest of Judah, estimated 200 men a year born in that city. Out of the 200 men, one of them, that 1 year, was Jesus Christ. Of those, how many of those 200 men born that 1 year fled to Egypt by way of a dream? Of those, how many of those from Egypt returned to Nazareth? Of those, how many taught in Galilee? Of those, how many went to the cross? Of those, how many on the cross had soldiers cast lots for his clothes? Of those who died on the cross, who had soldiers cast lots for their clothes, died or was buried in the tomb of a rich man. Of those who were buried in the tomb of a rich man, rose again on the third day. See, the plan of God was nothing like you and I, mankind, would have ever thought. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, God speaking, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." So we talked about God's plan was in place all along. God has a plan for you all along. The parallel for this thought, that it never looks like you and I would think of, is stop trying to make God's plans fit into your plans. So often you and I We try to make God's plan fit into ours. When the reality is that God had to move literally, listen to this, not just metaphorically speaking, literally God had to move heaven and earth for Christ to be born. God had to move on the heart of a king, Caesar Augustus, declare a census. God had to create in the cosmos a star that would remain, that would guide the wise men to Bethlehem. God had to literally move the heavens and the earth for Christ to be born. So you and I have got to understand that it is not our place to try to make the plan of God for our life fit into our plans, but rather to be flexible with our plans so that we would then fit into God's plan. Because it is God's plan that is for us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher. They're bigger. So you know what that means? Statistical probability. I love this. Let the History Channel say whatever the heck they want to say about Jesus Christ. Let the atheists who want to put billboards that say, who needs Christ during Christmas, say whatever the heck they want, because ain't nobody in the world, ain't no mega million statistic ever going to come close to the probability of Jesus Christ and what he came to do, because God's plans never look how we think they will. And so we learn to wait on God's perfect plan. The last for tonight, so simple. God's perfect plan, number three, was complete. It was complete. God's perfect plan was complete. You can even say it like this. God's perfect plan, was perfect. The example, when somebody says, I have the perfect plan, what does that mean to you? It means that they have every detail covered. Every thought, every angle covered. God's plan wasn't thrown together. God wasn't sitting in the heavens saying, well, you know, I guess right now is the goodest time as ever. I got nothing else going on. Jesus, hey, why don't you go on and head down? No. Come on. God's plan was complete all the way down to the very nitty gritty, the very detail of everything, to the very name that they were given to name Jesus. You know, in our culture, we name our children because of what the trend is, because that name sounds cool, because it's unique. You know, in the days of Jesus' time, they named their children after family. They gave their children specific names, and the names meant something. Now, all of us can look up our names in a dictionary somewhere, and we can find out what our names mean, but you see, we didn't find out the meaning of our name after we were named in those days. They knew the meaning of the name, and they named you for that meaning. So God gives to Joseph a dream. It comes to Joseph in a dream in Matthew, the first chapter, verse number 21, of Matthew 1:21. As God is speaking to Joseph, he says, she will bring forth a son, speaking of Mary. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, I remember when my son was born. His name's Bjorn. A lot of people look at me and scratch their head when they say, what? Your son's name is what? Bjorn. Not Bjorn. Not Jorn. Bjorn. Never mind. I don't even want to go in there. God's plan was complete. It was perfect. He knew the very detail. You know, our son came out. My wife and I, we didn't have a plan. We didn't know. We couldn't agree on anything. So we looked at there, and the doctor said, hey, what are you going to name him? We looked at each other and said, how about Bjorn? Wrote it down on the birth certificate. As we took our son home, like Pastor Jim says, true story. As we took our son home, we looked at each other, and we said, oh, my God. Did we make the right choice? It's done. God didn't just throw something together. He didn't just throw a plan together. It was perfect. God told Joseph, you will name him Jesus. God told Zacharias, you will name him John. There was a plan set in place. You know the name Jesus, pronounced in Hebrew, Yeshua. The name Jesus, Yeshua, has a meaning. Comes from the name Yehoshua, or Joshua that you and I would say. Joshua means God is salvation. Jesus is a direct derivative of that name. God is salvation. But the difference between Jesus and Joshua, or Yeshua and Yehoshua, is Joshua means God is salvation. Yeshua means the Lord's salvation. Jesus is salvation. Joshua is a declaration that God is salvation. Yeshua is a declaration that I am the Lord's salvation. There was a plan all the way down to the name, a detail. God has a plan for you and I. We've established that. Look what it says in Ephesians. We'll put it up on the overhead in Ephesians, the second chapter. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had a plan all along for you and I. God's plan's not going to look like you and I think it's going to look like. But we've got to understand that God's plan is complete. God's plan is perfect. What better plan for you and I to follow in our lives than the perfect plan of God that God has laid out before us, that God has put out before us, that God has planned for you and I to fulfill, to walk in. God's plan is perfect. There's no better plan for you and I to follow than the plan of God. God has a complete plan. He desires that we would walk in it. Let me close with this thought. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse number 31. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse number 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, God has a plan for you. Whether you see it right now or you don't, whether you've been asking or you've been praying with an answer or no answer, whether you've been waiting like Simeon all his life, yearning and eagering, all God is saying is, hold on. Don't give up. Keep the ember burning. Keep your faith alive. And in doing so, my plan will be revealed. My will be revealed. You will get the answers you're looking for when you seek me with all of your heart. Like we've talked about so many times, the Bible says to ask, seek, and knock. The Bible says when you search for him earnestly, you will find him. The Bible says that God says when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. Tonight, out of the story of the nativity, it never looked like we thought it would. A baby in a manger with animals and mud and hay and all the filthy things that are associated with a barn in a little town of Bethlehem. 300 plus prophecies of Jesus Christ. The plan of God was established all along. It won't look like you think it will, but it's there, and it is the perfect plan. Tonight, before we close the message, I want to do something. There are those of us in this place that have been waiting on the plan of God for our lives. There are those, Elijah, if you're here, you could come and play real quick. There are those of us in this place that have been longing for the answers of God. And maybe it's you that you need an ember burning, or you need to strike, or to fan that flame of your faith so that you don't lose hope. Because here's the deal. Like I say tonight, the encouragement for you is to not lose hope. To not give up when it seems like there is no hope. Because listen, there was no hope, it seemed, for Israel. They had forgotten all, but God's plan was in place all along. Listen, it may look as though there's no hope for you in your life, but God's plan is for you all along. It may not look like God's plan is at work, but listen, it may not look like you think it is. So today what I want to do is I just want to pray. And I'll be the first person to acknowledge, although I'm already standing, I'm going to ask for those of you who have been waiting on the Lord, you need some faith and want prayer. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand. I will tell you first and foremost that I, right here, in front of all of you, if I was seated, I would stand. So if nobody else stands, then hey, I'll pray for myself. But you know what? I know that there are those of you in this place that have been waiting on the will and the plan of God, and you need some faith. If that's you in this place, why don't you stand and let's pray together a prayer of faith. You need answers. You're waiting. Like that hymn says, come, thou long expected Jesus. You have been long expecting God to do something in your life. Tonight, let's pray that we kindle that flame. Tonight, let's pray like Simeon, like those wise men, like Mary, like Joseph, like the shepherds on the hill, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Let's pray that we continue to look and listen for the will of God, that we follow the plan and the will of God in our lives, that we might see the plan of God fulfilled in our lives. I prayed this with our young adults, and I'm going to pray it tonight, a prayer of faith. You see, the plan above all else, God interrupted the lives of those people. Joseph and Mary could have just lived a normal life. You and I can go about and live a normal life. Elizabeth and Zechariah could have lived a normal life, could have just continued on what the norm is. Simeon could have gone about his life hoping and wanting. Those shepherds could have gone about their normal activities on that hill. Those wise men could have stuck to their scrolls. But God interrupted their lives to converge on one moment so that his plan would be fulfilled. Tonight I want to pray that God interrupts our lives. That God interrupts our lives. That we don't accept the norm of where we are, but we go and grab a hold of God's perfect plan. That we might wait on it and have faith. So tonight, if that's you in this place, as I pray over you and for you, and myself included, truly I want you to just forget what's going on beside of you, who's next to you or who's in front of you, who's behind you. This is a moment for you and God. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is in this place to encourage you, to build you up, so that you would know that your thoughts are not his thoughts. They're higher than yours. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And he has a plan for you. He knew all about you. You're not a mistake. You're not a coincidence. The statistical odds of you being here are astronomical as well. God has a plan. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you tonight, Lord. Almost every person in this auditorium is standing. Why, God? Because here we are, long awaiting. Long expecting you in our lives. Father, there are those of us who have unanswered requests. God, requests of family members' salvations. God, requests of your intervention in their lives. God, requests of your hand. God, requests of your answers. God, requests of your deliverance. God, we pray tonight in this place, above all else, in this place tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon us. Lord, your word says that you are a God of comfort. Lord, that you would give to us comfort in our time of need. And today, Lord, we stand here expecting, awaiting, looking, and listening for your plans. And Lord, we stand on the promises of God for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be about us. Lord, that the word of God that says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would guard our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that we leave this place tonight, aren't your church. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would walk out of this place knowing that there is a plan in place for us, unique to us, each and every one of us in this place, God, and that you know it. Lord, that you have special and unique plans. Lord, that that plan is perfect and complete, that you have every angle covered. Lord, that you have every T crossed and every I dotted in our lives. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would stop trying to fit your plans into our lives, but God, that we would flex our lives, that you would interrupt us so much so that we would fit our lives into your plan, Lord, the perfect plan. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we would be people that would keep that faith alive. Lord, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of the Lord. So Lord, as we get into the word of God and as we study, Lord, as we confirm what your word is for us and our lives by the word of God, I pray in the name of Jesus that that ember of that long awaiting your will, your plan, your desire in our life would grow to a burning and a burning fire, Lord. A passion for you, Lord, that we would get out there and begin to operate in your will and your way, Father, that we would look back as they say, hindsight is 20/20, and we would see, wow, I have been operating in nothing but the plan of God. Lord, that I have been changed for perfection in your eyes and in your ways. God, that you have brought me to a new place, a new level. Lord, tonight, I pray that your church would have a passion for your Holy Spirit. Lord, that they would have a passion for the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in this season of celebration, Lord, that we wouldn't get so wrapped up in commercialism, we wouldn't get so wrapped up in fairy tales and fables, but Lord, that we would remember that Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, came. God, you came, deity, brought into humanity. so that you could experience what we experience, so that we would know that we have a God who represents us, who knows our pains, who knows our desires. Lord, we thank you. To you be the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, I pray for faith in this place to each and every person. I pray for wisdom in this place to each and every person, for knowledge, God, as they ask for it. Lord, let us receive it in faith tonight. Lord, let us receive the knowledge and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and your plan for our lives right now. Lord, your word says that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Father, I thank you that your word says that you make all things work together for those who serve and are called according to your purpose. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that your plan, your will, your way, your desires would be in operation in each and every one of our lives in this place today. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say, amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah.